Good Friday morning, everybody. How you all doing? This is CA, on-air personality, TGIF, thank God it's Friday, or thank goodness it's Friday, on the iHeartRadio Network. That's right, CA on iHeartRadio Network here in beautiful downtown Fort Worth, central downtown Fort Worth. Today is Billy Graham Fridays. We're going to be talking a little bit about the show. I also have the Deacon here this morning, and he is going to be sharing a wacky story, a love story that happened on a plane that they were on, him and Miss Mildred were on, and he's going to share a little bit about that, and we're just going to talk to him for a little bit here in just a little while. Also got the coffee song, the John Wyler coffee song, we're going to be playing for you guys and everything, and today's topic will be on Billy Graham is the end of the world close. That's going to be back in his 1993 Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania crusade. So we don't want to miss that on Billy Graham Fridays. But before we do, we also got the Friday dance coming up and everything with David Bowie. But let's talk a little bit again and just to refresh you guys on everything. So how's everything been going for y'all, huh? We made it to Friday. Yay! TGIF. Again, thank goodness it's Friday, or thank God it's Friday. Okay, Deacon's just sitting here drinking himself a cup of coffee. He has to get warmed up. It's like an automobile. Okay? So he'll be coming up here in just a bit. Again, like I said, just a reminder, John Wyler coffee song. And what else do we got going on here? We got another Christian song, the Billy Graham. Got all kinds of goodies. I got a great report yesterday when I did at my home base studio with Kent Griswold. I'll be sharing a little bit with Deacon about old Kent. We may have them at the round table one day here real soon. As the characters come out of the closet, slowly but surely. Alright. Hope you guys are Jumpin' Jack ready. We haven't done Jumpin' Jack ready in such a long time. Get those arms stretched out on a Friday. What do you say? Come on now, you can do it. I know you're still waking up, but you can do it before I get James Brown now. All right, put them together. We're going to do it together here, okay? We'll count to five, and then we'll go backwards. Here we go. Got to wake you up with that music this morning, guys. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Also want to remind you, too, on addition to that, if you have any prayer requests, questions, comments, suggestions, feel free, you can always email me here at the studio, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, like me on my Facebook page, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Check that like button. We got what's called text of prayer, which you can just copy and paste that number on station information, put it in your context, and text me your prayer, okay? In fact, we're going to be doing a text of prayer, and before I call the deacon, well, let's call the deacon, and then I'll get ready, because I need to have his assistance. Well, hold on a second. I am just totally out of whack here. Before we get the deacon, we've got to get James Brown kicking it off on a Friday. There we go. A little bit of James Brown back in the day, right? Okay. Now, before I get the deacon, see, I told you guys I'm totally off on my programming this morning, okay? Half of a cup of coffee just cannot do it this morning here at Faith Studio One. Look at the deacon. I mean, if I wish you could see this on a live cam. He is just laughing like it's no tomorrow. Okay, here we go. David Bowie, let's do a little bit of a Friday dance. What do you say? There we go. About a couple of minutes of the Friday dance. Got to have a little bit of it. People tell me, see, hey, you hadn't had it on there in a while. Well, now we do. So I'm ready to get him. What do you say? Not get him that way. He's probably going to be saying, what the heck are you talking about? Let's get ready to call him out here. The Deacon, fan favorite. Got to get his music going this morning. Come on, Deacon, get over here to the microphone, get your headset on, let's get rocking and rolling on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio. We There we go. Oh my goodness, Deacon, you just cracked me up. Let's go ahead and start off with a cheer this morning. On Friday, July the 14th, 2023. How about some hand clap for this young man? All right, give him some morning crow. Got to have that on the Morning Brew Christian podcast. All right, let's whistle at him. All right, come on now. I need a drum roll for him. He's really special. Fanfare. Countdown for the Deke.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, your friend, my friend, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Hello, Deacon.
Well, good morning there, CA. Yeah, you know, I got so much I need to share here in just a little bit, but I know you have about 4 prayer requests that you want to go over and us pray together. Is that right?
Yeah, we need to do that. In fact, can we do that? And then we'll let you kind of have some of the floor.
Well, you can always give me the floor. How about the studio floor and the mic?
Sounds good, Deacon. Sounds really good. Yes, we have prayer requests that came in. These are some urgent ones. And then I have some other prayer requests. I have about 4 unspoken prayer requests that people want us to put on there. So we want to remember those unspoken prayer requests. It's very important. And then I want you to just tell me about this plane story, this ultimate plane story that you want to talk about.
Well, that sounds good. And we're going to do that, and along with a little bit of music too as well, that I think you guys are going to be laughing about. But you know what? We'll talk about a little bit about love here in just a little bit. You know, me and Miss Mildred, we love each other. And when you love, you love. You know, now there's different kinds of love, S.E.A., but I'm going to tell you, I really, really mean when I love from the bottom of my heart.
There you go, Deacon. That's the best way to look at it. Okay, well, let's start off with these prayer requests, if you could pray with me. We got 4 of them, okay? On text of prayer, Rosalind in the United States writes to me, good morning, will you please tell the deacon hi for me? Yes, I will, Rosalind. Her simple prayer request is, please pray for my mental health. Boy, that seems to be a biggie here lately with mental health. Rosalind, we're going to pray for you. I'm going to tell you something right now. God can take that mental health situation that you're going through right now, get the help you need, okay? He'll send the right people at the right place at the right time. Our God is a divine God that knows when and where to get the resolution of the problem. So we're going to pray for you right now for your mental health. Dear Jesus, we come to you together, united in prayer as radio listeners and as a body of believers. And God, we just pray right now for Rosalind. I just pray you help her with her mental health situation, dear Lord. Please keep her calm, get her the help she needs. We come to you united in prayer. In Jesus' name, we ask it and pray.
Amen.
There you go, Deacon. You beat me to that word, amen. Okay. The next one that comes up is I have an anonymous one in the United States. It says, please pray for strength to reach out and start attending a local church. Okay, we will do that for this anonymous one in the United States. Church is great. Church is really good. But what's going to get you in heaven is make sure that you have your heart right with Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you agree to that, Deacon?
That's right. Now, let me just step in on CA's tools here for a little bit and tell you, it's very important that going to church is good and mixing in with the body of believers to socialize and worshiping as one body, because the church is not just a building. It's a place of worship, because we worship together our one and only God, the one that we serve, the one we bow down before thee and worship him and give him all the praises of everything that he's done.
I agree. So I just want to say that battling a little bit of allergies this morning is we're going to pray that God will help you with the right church, and that will be at the right place, right time, in another sense, in a divine moment. So let's pray for you right now, anonymous one. Dear Jesus, we come together united in prayer. We pray for this anonymous listener that wants to reach out and start attending a local church. God, I just pray you just help them, that you be with them. You know the situation. We lift it up and give it all to you. as a body of believers and as radio listeners in 110% total agreement. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Nina in the United States writes me, "Good morning, CA and iHeartRadio family. Please pray for my health and the health of my grandma, Heidi." Okay, absolutely. We all have health issues as we get younger or young older.
That's right, CA. Even I do. I get arthritis.
Yeah, I know. You told me you take your Celebrex.
Yeah, I have to. And Miss Mildred, you know, she takes fairly good care of me.
That's good. So what we want to do is we want to pray for Nina and her health and the health of her grandma. So let's come together, united in prayer, and as a body of believers, for a physical touch on Nina. Dear Lord, we come to you together, united in prayer, and as radio listeners, we pray for Nina. God, I just pray you help her with her health, and also pray that you help the health of her grandma, Heidi. We give it all to you and lift it up to you in 110% total agreement. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay, I have an anonymous one. It's kind of a prayer and praise report. We get those from time to time. The anonymous one in New Mexico writes me and says, "CA, I have a new job opportunity that I've accepted, which would change my life." Well, that sounds like more of a praise report, but you know what? That's wonderful. Let's just pray for you, and let's just pray that this new job opportunity, that these bay windows from heaven are going to open, and it's going to be just the right place, right time, and the right divine moment. What do you say? So, dear Jesus, we come to this anonymous listener in New Mexico. God, I just pray that you just be with he or she, this great new opportunity that came around. I know you're going to open heaven's bay window. Be with her, him or her. Watch over God and protect them. We come together as a body of believers. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, 110% total agreement. Amen.
Amen.
All right, there we go. There's our four prayer requests on Billy Graham Fridays. Yes, Billy Graham Fridays. Okay, Deacon, you want to talk about your recent trip and you want me to play some music in the background. And it's about a love story.
See, hey, we're going to talk about love.
Okay.
And we ain't talking the love boat either.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk about it. Let you talk about it. How's that sound? Get your music going there for you. Oh, you want Fearless Bueller out of all?
Yes, EA, because this is a very romantic moment. Now, me and Miss Mildred were on a plane ride. Miss Mildred had to go to the restroom, which was fine. And there was this man sitting right in front of us and this lady that was behind us. Well, he had asked me because there was a vacant seat at that area. So he asked this lady, he said, "Ma'am," he goes, "I suffer from anxiety and I'm a little nervous on the plane ride," which is not uncommon for a lot of people. And am I right, T.A.?
Yeah, you're right.
So what happened was, he went over there and he sat right next to her, because the plane wasn't very full, which is really unusual, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Know exactly what you mean.
Well, this is the way the love story that I believe happened at that divine moment. So she said, "Well, what can I do to make things better for you?" Well, he said, "Can you hold my hand to keep me calm?"
You're kidding me.
No. She held his hand all the way through and they started talking about life and about her life and his life. Stewardess didn't tell him to get back to his seat. His plane wasn't that full. Come back, you know, for me and Miss Mildred on our trip.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I guess the moral of the story is, love hit on the plane.
In other words, Cupid had the arrows going in the plane in the right direction for those two.
Yeah, they made it all the way out. When they landed, they were still talking, holding hands still, believe it or not, walking out to the baggage area, and then walking out together holding hands. They looked like they were a happy couple in what? Love. Love, love, give me some love.
All right, now, we got to keep this show clean.
We are. Now, you got to trust old Deke here. I wouldn't lead you wrong.
Well, I'm glad you didn't play marital counselor, or dating counselor, I should say.
Well, that's right. Now, you know I went to Bible college, too, just like you did there, C.H. However, the deacon is just a deacon and a choir leader at the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. So I wanted to just share that little love story there. Goodness gracious, I heard their life story like you wouldn't believe. Miss Mildred was sitting there and she said, "Honey, give me some earplugs because this love is more love than you talked to me about when we first got together."
Oh my goodness gracious. Deacon, what are we going to do with you, buddy? It just ain't the same without the deacon, is it, guys? All right, well, that's good. So, anyway, and I know you said you had a great 4th of July.
See, I also had a great 4th of July. And we're getting ready to take another staycation. Now, we're taking a staycation, not vacation, but a staycation.
Good, good. That'll be good for you. You know, you need to take one. And you need to go out and enjoy your life. And, you know, that's what it's all about. So, other than that, did you get to hear, I was just going to ask you real quick, did you get to hear Kent Griswold?
Who the heck is Kent Griswold?
Kent Griswold? Who is Kent Griswold? That's who I'm talking about.
Oh, Kent Griswold. We talking about Clark's brother?
Yeah. Did you get to hear it?
Yeah, I did. And boy, that guy, he's a class act, isn't he? Class clown, I should say.
Well, you know, what I'm going to do is I am going to put you two, that's right, I'm going to put you two on a round table. And I wanted to know what your thought was. What your thought was going to be on that.
See, I don't mind at all being on a round table with producer Dave. I don't mind at all. And I don't mind being on a, you got it, everybody knows, with Clark Griswold. Now, you can't go wrong with Mr. Griswold. I need to talk to him about that old boy that sits there and stops up those toilets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Deacon, it's been great. Thank you for sharing your plain love story. And I hope you have a great day. We got to get ready for a John Waller coffee song. And then we got one song coming up, and then we got Billy Graham Fridays.
Okay, CA, I just want to tell everybody, howdy-ho, howdy-ho, and I'm signing off.
There you go. Thank you, Deacon. How about a good cup of coffee, Deacon, on your way out? And Jesus in the Morning, John Waller, on a Friday, one of our Friday songs.
That sweet aroma, I'm bold and beautiful, I can hardly wait to taste. Morning, something wonderful is about to make my day.
Give me a good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning. You can only hear it exclusively and only on my radio station, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio. Well, you know what? Before we get started with Billy Graham Fridays, we're going to play one more song here to get you guys ready. And it's a favorite. It really is. You're going to love it. We all know what it is. And it is Phil Wickham. This is Our God. Billy Graham Friday's coming up immediately after this. Stay tuned. One of my favorite songs, excuse me, Phil Wickham, This Is Our God. Okay, let's flash back to 1993, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's right, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Dr. Graham, Dr. Billy Graham on Billy Graham Fridays. And he is going to talk about today's lesson is, Is the end of the world close? So here we go.
I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter, the second chapter, beginning with verse 5. I hope you brought your Bibles, because we want to talk about a very important subject today: the judgment of God, the love of God, and the coming again of Jesus Christ, and the end of the age. Not the end of the world. There's not going to be an end of the world, but there is going to be an end to the age in which we live, that's dominated by the devil and dominated by evil. That will come to an end, and Christ the Messiah is going to come back. We want to talk about that a little bit today. The second chapter of 2 Peter. Now, 2 Peter in your Bibles comes right after 1 Peter, if you're having trouble finding it. Beginning with verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto all those who would live ungodly in the future. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy lifestyle of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and trials. If you're going through a serious temptation now or trial now, God knows how to deliver you. If you'll turn to Him and pray by faith and believe, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. Those that are outside of Christ, those that live wicked lives, are being reserved until the day of judgment. There is a judgment day coming. The biblical story of Sodom and Gomorrah comes down to us today as an example of what could happen, even in this decade or in the decades ahead, if we don't turn to God. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah were two cities, and they were at the place that now the Dead Sea is in the Middle East. The Dead Sea is 10 miles by 50 mile inland lake in the lower Jordan Valley. It's a mineral-saturated body of water which is 1,260 feet below sea level. It's the lowest part of the world. In Genesis 13, we read about Abraham. And Abraham is going through that part of the world with all of his flocks and all of his family, going to the land that God had promised him. He was a man of God. And he had his nephew with him by the name of Lot. And he saw that the servants of Lot and his servants were not getting along too well. So he said to Lot, "Lot, let's divide. We've gotten too big. There are too many of us. Too many cattle. Your cattle and my cattle are getting mixed up. You choose wherever you want to live. If you want to go west toward what is now Palestine, or if you want to go across the Jordan and go to the Jordan Valley, which is lush like a Garden of Eden, you take a choice and I'll take the other way." So Lot looked all around, and he looked down toward Sodom. He looked down toward Gomorrah, and he saw that that was a very wealthy part of the world, a very wonderful part to live in. He consulted his wife. She said, "By all means, we want to go to Sodom." She wanted to go where the good times were. And so Lot told Abraham, "All right, Uncle Abraham, we're going to go. We've chosen to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah and go down to the lush valley of the Jordan. And we'll take our cattle and our servants and our people and our family, and that's where we'll go." Abraham agreed, said, "All right." The Dead Sea was surrounded in that time. It was no Dead Sea, of course. but at that time it was a lush, unbelievably lush part of the world. But with their wealth came a lifestyle of hedonism, sexual obsession, and perversion, the like of which has hardly ever been equaled in the history of the world. So that today the word Sodom is used to describe a certain lifestyle that people may adopt. As God has sent a flood to destroy a corrupted humanity in Noah's day, so upon Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent a totally destroying judgment of fire. And that fire of brimstone that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah not only destroyed it, but sank that part of the world to the lowest part of the earth. Now, what were the sins of Sodom? Why did God allow that judgment to fall? The first sin that they had was false security. They were secure. And we today have a security behind our oceans and behind our military power. President Yeltsin has stated that the whole world could be standing unknowingly on the edge of an abyss. And you saw in your papers this morning the problems they're having in Russia right now, in the government. We have a false security. Woe to them that go down to Egypt. Now, Egypt in that day did not have much to do with Israeli people. And yet, time after time, the Israelis would go down to Egypt for help. And he said, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots. But they look not to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. Isaiah the prophet is speaking in the 31st chapter when he says that. They had false security. They thought they were absolutely secure. Nobody could ever take Sodom and Gomorrah. Then their second sin that the scripture mentions is pleasure. They live for pleasure. In Job 20, the fifth chapter, it says, the joy making of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but a moment. You only have a moment to enjoy it. Then you have eternity to regret it. The scripture says there are pleasures in sin for a moment. Then it's all over. And then there's nothing but the remorse and the guilt. The scripture says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the scripture says, the heart is sorrowful and the end of mirth is heaviness. Even when you're laughing, many people. In Psalm 53:1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. But if you go back to the original language in Hebrew, here's what it says. The fool hath said in his heart, no to God. He's not saying there's no God. He's just saying no to God. You see, you can't prove scientifically that there is a God, and you can't prove scientifically there's no God. But everybody knows there must be a God. And then there's another sin that Sodom and Gomorrah committed. It was overindulgence. The majority of the world, a great part of the world, lives under what we call the poverty level. And in Luke 21, it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day comes upon you unaware. John Eastwood wrote some time ago, people do not decide to be drunkards or drug addicts or prostitutes or murderers or thieves, but they pitch their tent towards Sodom and the powers of evil overcome them. And how many of us are like that? We pitch our tent towards Sodom. We sort of live half in Sodom and half with Abraham. We sort of enjoy Sodom. We long for the things that Sodom has. We'd like to have the fun and the pleasure we imagine that they're having. We'd like to have all that money. But the powers of evil will overcome you, and you will die before your time and be lost from God. In Jude, the 12th verse, it says, there are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. How many times we see charitable events and we thank God for those that are sincerely interested, but they go to have a big time and to be seen, and there's a spot in their charity, and that's the spot. And then the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had some new strange gods. Whenever a man seeks or honors or exalts anything more than God, that's idolatry. And there are many of us that are guilty of idolatry, but we don't realize it. In Psalm 44, it says, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hand to a strange God, shall not God search this out? Romans 1, it says, we've changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. We worship our bodies and we worship our good times and we spend more on our cosmetics than we do worshiping God and Christ. That's modern humanism. And then they were also guilty of greed. Greed was a plague on the lives of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And one of the addictions that today has thousands of Americans in its vice is gambling. And part of the gambling motivation is greed. Workers throughout the industrialized world are becoming increasingly traumatized by overwork in their effort to earn more than their needs require. So we neglect our families to get more money so that we can, and we don't really need it. God has promised to supply all of our needs, but he's never promised to supply all of our greeds. And then, in the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, so bad that God gave them up. In Romans 1, it says that God just gave them up. Three times he said he gave them up. Has God given you up? No, the very fact you're here today shows that God has not given you up. God is still speaking to you. There's still a chance for you to come to Christ. There's still an opportunity to receive the love of God and the gift of God in Christ. In 2 Timothy 3, it says, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy. And anyone who believes in high morality today is laughed at. Jeremiah said that they had forgotten how to blush. And there's a lot of truth in that. I was telling about a granddaughter of mine that graduated from high school yesterday. My wife was there. And she's had a rough time in high school because she's tried her best to live for the Lord. And she soon found that she was almost alone. And she was hurt by it. As a teenager, she suffered. But then toward the end of school, different ones began to come to her in her class and say, you know, we've been wrong in our attitude toward you. We've watched you, and you've been faithful to your beliefs. We'd like to believe something like that. So they've organized a Bible class and a Bible club to come out of that little group of people that watched her and have become her friends now, because she never gave in. She totally yielded to Christ. And I'm thankful for her. Now, God warned Sodom. He sent some angels to Abraham to tell Abraham what he was going to do. He was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. And Abraham said, wait a minute, Lord. If I would find some real believers in Sodom, if I found 50 righteous men, would you spare it? And God said, yes. He couldn't find 50. So he said to the Lord, all right, Lord, what about if I found 40? Then after a while, he said, 30, then 20. Finally, he said, if I find 10, Lord, would you spare them? And God said, yes, if you find 10 righteous people in Sodom, I'll spare Sodom. But he couldn't find them. And that is a lesson to us, the importance of a dedicated minority. A minority of people who believe and who live it. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah, says Isaiah 1:9. To you Christians, Jesus gave a warning. He said, remember Lot's wife? The angels told you not to look back. If you did look back, you'd be turned to a pillar of salt. Well, she did look back. And she was turned to a pillar of salt. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. That's an example for us today. Remember Lot's wife, one of the shortest verses in all the Bible. Don't look back. Many of us look longingly at the world, and many are like Demas, having forsaken Christ because of the love of this present world. Now, the climax of history is going to be judgment. The Bible warns that the world is in for a gigantic judgment. The only bright spot is the promised return of Jesus Christ. Because the scripture teaches from one end to the other that Christ is going to come back someday. He's going to set up his kingdom, and evil and the devil are going to be eliminated. And this is going to be heaven on earth when Jesus comes back.
Amen. There we go. So you want to make sure you have it right with God. And that's Billy Graham's lesson, is the end of the world close. So we're going to close out with a song and then a prayer. And if you have any questions or if there's anything we can do here at the studio, pray for you, or even outside when you hear this podcast, go to Text a Prayer, okay, and text it to me, or go to Facebook Messenger or whatever you need to do. Email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Crystal Lewis, a combo song, Just As I Am and I Surrender All. Maybe you need to get your heart right with Jesus. Maybe you just need to get, we all need to give it all to him. Listen to Crystal Lewis, okay? Get your heart changed today and have Christ in it. Amen. Hope you guys got blessed like I did. I surrender all. And we should surrender all and give it all to Jesus. Amen. Well, let's lead off in prayer as I get ready to saddle up and leave Faith Studio 1 here in central downtown Fort Worth. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, I just pray you watch over, guide, and protect us. Keep us healthy and safe. Let us have an upcoming good weekend. And we thank you for all you do. Touch and heal the sick and these prayer requests that came in this morning. Lift it up and give it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys, I'm going to saddle up. I got to leave Faith Studio 1 here in central downtown Fort Worth, the iHeartRadio studio. Y'all have a great day. Until we talk again, bye for now.